Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 66. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. Nate, Sean, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh. Great evening.
It's been a great evening.
Yeah, it's been a fun one.
It has been.
Like always, we needed it.
We do. Mm-hmm. I mean, like always, it's always fun, you know.
It was just you two last week, so.
It was.
You guys were making up some lost time.
We missed you last week.
I missed being here, so, yeah, I needed it.
Yeah, you had a bad migraine.
A migraine.
So, I like that.
Yeah, I don't need. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, not good.
It took a few days, too, right?
Mm-hmm. To kick my butt. Yeah, I hate it. I still get migraine symptoms. So I thought I was just getting some migraine symptoms. And then, surprise, surprise, as I was leading a meeting, it was like, oh, I'll be fine. You know, there's no pain with this. It's just I couldn't see very well. And I thought, I've done it before. I've been able to skirt. Normally, a lot of times I get like ear buzzing. Those are the things that I get. And I get different, like I said, I'll get some different things. The eye visual stuff doesn't happen too often, but when it does, I know how to kind of work around it. But it's the pain that hits you like a sledgehammer in your head that does not go over well. And so I did. I literally leaned over and kind of like looked down. Everybody could tell that I was like, I should just said I'm having a migraine, but I'm like, I just went nuts basically. And I went over, not really. I mean, somehow I still made notes and was still kind of coherent, but I looked over at my boss and I was like, can you take over? I can't even see straight. Oh, and he's like, what's wrong? I was like, migraine coming on. He's like, yeah, I got you. So I felt foolish, but it was what
it
was.
You can't help it. I mean, it's not.
Couldn't. And yeah. I was really, yeah, it was one of those
things.
If
your pants fell down, sure, that'd be foolish.
But a migraine. A little seltzer down my pants. Yeah. Yeah, that would be embarrassing. But yeah, I was one of those things.
Yeah, that's awful. Yeah, and I felt bad for you. My mom dealt with that for 10 years, and then she found some medication to help her.
I was like, yeah. I'm stealing your phone.
But anyway, we are glad you're back with us for this recording night. So we have the crew.
Yes.
Yeah. Nate and I held down the fort. Yeah.
Three wise men. Council of three.
Wise guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three men.
Nate, you nailed it.
Micah called us something like the Council of Three. I think that's fair.
I know we've been called other things. Three Stooges, three. We are glad you're back, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep, glad to be back.
And of course, we are glad the creepies are joining us, as always. So, with that said, Sean, tell our lovely creepies what we're going to talk about.
We are going to talk about James Dean's car by the name of Little Bastard, right? Mm-hmm. So James Dean, a famous American actor some people don't know about. I don't know how.
Crazy. I don't get
one
it.
Of my favorites. I love black and white cinematography, right? So I'm James Dean was an American actor. He is remembered as a cultural icon of teenage disillusionment and social estrangement. And he had three movies. Only one of them was released when he died, so which is interesting. It was East of Eden, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the other two hadn't even been released when he died. So James Dean... James Dean's career as an actor and racer was cut tragically short on September 30th, 1955, when his little bastard, Porsche 550 Spider, was involved in a catastrophic collision on the way to a race meeting. Dean was killed instantly, but Little Bastard, I like saying Little Bastard, would go on to cause considerably more trouble.
Yes, it did.
Thank you for the use of your phone.
You're welcome.
Some good foundation on your phone.
So before we get into all the crazy stuff, the story, had you heard about why, like how he got killed and all of that?
Yes.
All these years.
Not in detail, no.
No. I just knew that he was, just in a car accident. Mm-hmm. That was it. I had no idea. It was a sports car. I didn't know where he was going, what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about that. And I've known about James Dean since I can remember. I didn't know any of the details either. I had no idea. And then, of course, not until a couple of years ago, I had no idea that this was, it moved past the
memorabilia, right?
Yeah. Not just that time when he got killed, but,
It's affected other people.
Oh yeah.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot more to the story. So very interesting, very, very sad, but very interesting. 'Cause he was, 23. Is that right?
24, I believe.
Very 24. Young.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, he would have been for the younger crowd. I mean, he was the heartthrob and cool. Yeah, the cigarette and the hair, the hairstyle, the hippies, real cool. I mean, just a cool dude.
Because he was born
the good looking guy,
He was born 31 and he died in 55. So he was born in Marion, Indiana.
Yes, he was.
And he died age 24 in California, however you say it.
Colamy,
I don't know how you say it.
Sorry.
But he was also, he grew up in Fairmont, Indiana, which I'm from Kokomo, so that's not very far. And there's a sign, I've gone to Fairmont several times in my life, and they have a James Dean Museum, and they have a big sign that says "Where Cool Was Born," and it's also where Garfield creator Jim Davis was from.
Yeah,
so they have a picture of James Dean, "Where Cool Was Born," and then it shows like Garfield kind of leaning, and also birthplace of Jim Davis.
Yeah,
so it's kind of cool.
There is a James Dean Museum up in northern India. Yeah, it's really cool. He was a cool cat. I like that.
Did you guys see this statement from actor Alec Guinness?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I certainly do.
Yeah, read that.
A week before the fatal crash, Dean met British actor Alec Guinness in Los Angeles. Guinness had an ominous feeling of seeing the Porsche and would later write in his diary, "The sports car looked sinister to me. Exhausted, hungry, feeling a little ill-tempered in spite of Dean's kindness. I heard myself saying in a voice I could hardly recognize as my own, 'Please never get in it. If you get in that car, you will be found dead in it by this time next week.'"
That's creepy.
Yeah. That's Obi-Wan kind of.
Yeah.
Use the Force, right? And he said in that interview, he had said that I listened to that too. It's wild to hear. He's like, I have no like talent in like telling the future or anything like that. So it's not something that he had done before. That he knew of a sixth sense, but
feeling he got from that car.
Yep. That's what he said. So, and they had just met too. Like it's not like they knew each other very well. So for him to say something to a complete stranger.
Yeah, that type of thing just doesn't happen every day, for somebody to have that type of feeling about a car or whatever, and to call, it's not like, well, yeah, that's going to be a lemon, it's going to cost you a lot of money. No, he's saying it's going to kill you.
He was showing everybody that car, too. Well, the funny thing is that he was a great actor. He was up and coming, and he was, making a big name for himself. And he had been in the acting business, I shouldn't say movie business, the acting business for a while. He'd been on television, he'd been in theater.
He did commercials.
And he loved it, commercials. And he had just broken into movies, and like I said, made three significant movies. But he loved racing more than acting, and I always thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, my dad was huge into James Dean. I have James Dean's, the box set of the three movies. I love them. Rebel Without a Cause is one of my favorite movies of all time. And "You're Tearing Me Apart" is where that comes from. So I want people to understand that this was a young talent. I mean, 24. He was young. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hadn't even, like I said, he's just starting to make a name for himself. Mm-hmm. And this was so tragic. I grew up on these stories, honestly. And like I said, since he was a Indiana legend, it's something that I was very familiar with.
You can take these, it'd be like today, you can take the 24-year-old hot actor up and coming.
Yeah.
And if he got killed in a car accident, this is
tragic.
Anybody, a regular person, non-actor getting killed is tragic, but like this was a huge deal, he did love racing. I think that was obviously, it's too bad that what happened. I'm going to read a few paragraphs here. Coming off of what Nate said about Alec Guinness, having that premonition and warning him, said that he kind of just laughed it off, says a week later on September 30th, Dean and Rolf, I'm going to butcher it, Wutrich, a former Luftwaffe? How do you say that? a former Luftwaffe pilot. In fact, sorry, Germany. And factory-trained Porsche mechanic were at a competition motors in Hollywood preparing Little Bastard for racing that weekend at Salinas. The intent was for Dean to trailer the car to Salinas behind his 1955 Ford Country Squire, along with a photographer and stuntman, Bill Hickman, stunt coordinator on the movie Bullet. Says, but the car needed some break-in miles on it, and Wittrich suggested driving the car to Salinas to break it in, or I'm sorry, to break in the engine and familiarize himself with his new car. Wittrich went along for the ride, and then, of course, said that the group left a coffee shop across from Competition Motors at 1:15 p.m., and at 3:30 p.m., California Highway Patrolman O.V. Hunter stopped Dean and wrote him a ticket just south of Bakersfield for driving 65 in a 55. Hickman got a ticket for, Hickman got a ticket for 20 miles per hour over the limit because he was towing a trailer, which meant that his maximum speed should have been 45. Then skimming down here, and it says at approximately 5:15, Dean and Hickman drove west towards Paso Robles. A half hour later, a black and white 1954 Ford Tudor Coupe was headed east on 466, driven by a 23-year-old Cal Poly student with the unlikely name of Donald Turnipseed. Turnipseed made a left on Route 41. As he crossed the center line, Dean, who was estimated to be traveling at 85 miles an hour, tried to avoid the Ford, and the two cars met head-on. The Ford Coupe slid 39 feet down Route 466 in the westbound lane. Soon afterward, an unconscious and dying Dean was placed into an ambulance. Wittrich, who had been thrown from the Spider, was lying on the shoulder of the road next to the little bastard. He was transported in the same ambulance to the Paso Robles War Memorial Hospital, about 30 miles away. Dean was pronounced dead on arrival at 6:20. Turnipseed walked away with a scratch on his nose.
Isn't that wild?
So he dies, and the other guy has a scratch on his nose. Oh, my gosh.
There's pictures of them, too, as they were leaving, and James Dean has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Kind of looking back at the camera.
Exactly, and with sunglasses on. And the crazy thing is, supposedly, there was a nurse on scene, too, and she checked for pulse. There was no pulse, and his neck was snapped.
Yeah.
So, it was brutal.
Yeah.
So, he was definitely gone. It was not meant for him to live, obviously.
No.
I mean, this is just a sequence of events that was just, like I said, it was fate, I guess. I mean,
and he died on impact, obviously. And then, the other guy just had a scratch. So you guys want to get into the cursed remnants?
Sure, yeah.
This is kind of the creepy part of the story.
Well, and that's what it says. Despite being declared a total loss by the insurance company, the car was sold and would continue to cause carnage wherever it went. Even the parts would cause carnage.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. William Esrich bought the Porsche from a salvage yard in Burbank and proceeded to strip it for parts. I'm not saying that right. Everybody's got a difficult name, right? Esrich installed the Porsche's engine into his Lotus 9 race car, then loaned, I'm trying to make sure I did the Roman numerals correctly, 9 race car, then loaned the transmission and suspension parts to fellow doctor and racer Troy McHenry. Esrich raced the Lotus at the 1956 Pomona sports car races, surviving, but McHenry wasn't as lucky. He hit a tree and was killed in the same race, and so the curse of the little bastard gained strength.
Yeah, they bought it for $2,500, by the way, just a little tidbit. Nate, you got something on the curses, or the curse, I should say?
Yeah, I got another story of a self-proclaimed king of customs, George Barris. He bought the Spider, and he promised to rebuild the vehicle. But it was the frame was mangled and beyond recovery. So he decided, since it was a popular car with a history, with Dean's death, that he loaned the car to the Los Angeles chapter of National Safety Council from 1957 to 59, and it went on a tour around to car shows, movie theaters, bowling alleys, and in 59, while it was in storage in Fresno, it mysteriously caught fire. But remarkably, little damage was done to it. It only melted two tires and singed some of the paint. Unfortunately, the fire didn't spread to any other vehicles in the storage. during all that time, Barris had sold a pair of the tires from the 550, and both reportedly blew out at the same time, causing the new owner to veer off the road.
Oh.
So, yeah. Sort of.
Sounds cursed to
odd,
me.
Yeah, sort of odd that two tires would blow at the exact same time.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to buy part of the car and put it in my Honda Civic.
Sounds like a horrible idea.
Yes. Yeah. My wife be like, what'd you do? Oh, I just.
Why does the car keep trying to kill us, honey?
You know, I never thought about we've talked about like cursed dolls, you know, toys and all that. And then you're like, you read this story and I'm like, wow,
you
cursed
wonder,
auto
how did it
parts.
Happen? Like, where'd it come from that it got cursed? You wonder, you know?
That's what I want to know. Like, how did it?
Yeah.
When it was intact and it was a brand new sports car, like
the devil's car.
What made it?
I think it was this monk who sold his soul to the devil, and in one night he built this car and
with vigorous horny hedgehog. We haven't thrown that in there in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you say, Sean, you were saying we're talking off mic about Zach Bagans possibly having something?
Yeah,
did you? Because I didn't see that in my research. I did not.
It was saying where is it at now? And it said that I think it's the engine that he has. And I was trying to make sure that was accurate, but I think he sold part of it anyway, or parts of it. Let me double check that. I thought I had that pulled up.
Yeah, there was also another post accident life of the car. I guess in Sacramento, it was on display somehow, and it had fallen from the display and broke a bystander's hip.
Oh.
And then the spider also reportedly fell on and killed George Barkus, the driver who transported it to the Safety Expo.
That's where it landed on him, is what we said.
There's two incidences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw the one about the, yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, one, I think, if I'm looking at this correctly, I think the car, the Porsche, fell and hit a bystander and broke his hip. And then the spider that the motor was in, it fell too and killed that George Barkus.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I'm.
And it, but what makes it funny is it was at the Road Safety Expo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, not a funny story, but
isn't it
kind of
ironic?
It's a very ironic. Yeah.
Well, I find it funny because whenever we have like typically on jobs I'm on.
Oh yeah.
You have a safety lunch or a safety stand down and have someone talk about safety.
And somebody gets killed. No.
No, but typically someone will get hurt, you know, right afterwards.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is funny. It is really funny.
Plant that seed.
And right? I've been on many jobs where that person gets hurt.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Everybody in the office is like, okay, we're shutting the job down. Everybody go home.
Oh, man, just to be safe.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it says now so it's no surprise then that the sole surviving part of Little Bastard, the Porsche 550 Spider James Dean was killed in, sold at auction for a pretty penny. Neither is it surprising that the same part, the transaxle, is going on display at the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, Nevada. Zach Bagans Museum, right?
Mm, okay. Did it give a price?
There was not for that. It said there was the cursed car sold for $382,000 at one time.
Yep.
There was one like it that sold for $4.1 million, I saw in another article. So, I mean, that's crazy.
I think it disappeared at some point.
It did. It did.
In 1960, en route from Miami to Los Angeles, it disappeared from a sealed boxcar. And they offered $1 million reward for information.
Ooh.
Offering that at 2005.
Man. Crazy. Yeah, it says Zach Bagans is quoted saying, to own the only known piece of what's probably the most famous cursed item in the world and be able to display it at the Haunted Museum for all to see is like striking gold as a collector of the macabre and haunted, Bagans told the Las Vegas Review. I've been drawn to the curse of Little Bastard for years, and I about die when I heard bad choice of words. And I about right. die when I heard the actual transaxle was in auction. Baggins said that he didn't know how high the bidding would go for the supposedly cursed relic, but it knew one thing for sure: he would own it. That's crazy to
wow.
I don't know. And looking at all these different pictures, just it's a cool car. I mean, you know, I like Porsches. You know, of course, the newer ones, but this 55 was sweet. A Spider, you know, convertible. That's one of the Spiders. Mm-hmm. If people don't know that, and it's Spyder,
because
a lot of people don't know cars or whatever, and so they were like, "What's a Spider?" It's convertible. It's what they call a lot of those. So,
I remember when I was a kid too that when we went to go see his, final resting place, they had to actually replace the tombstone because so many people took pieces of it that it like destroyed it. But it was like so many, and people still flock there. Probably not as much as they did back in the day, but they still go there to remember him and hear stories of a lot of the people. I think nowadays, you know, don't remember him firsthand. A lot of those people have passed on, but I know they have like video footage of people that would tell what he was like when he was young and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Before he moved out to California and then he moved back to Indiana. So, but yeah, he wouldn't have been somebody they thought, would go actually be an actor. He was actually kind of, you know, an awkward kid and just kind of grew up a little strange, you know, but which I think is the power of his acting, you know. So, but yeah, it's just
that kind of describing Hollywood,
right? Exactly. Well, it's a whole, he is the epitome of forever young, you know,
you'll
never know what he, now in his, one of his roles actually in Giant, he was portrayed older. And so they did get to kind of get a glimpse of what he would have been like as an older man. But that's the only way we would ever even think about him being older, but he's really crystallized, in that, forever young idea. He's one of the ones that we think of when we can't, you know, think of anything else, but just him being young and cool.
Yeah, my dad had a the third house that they owned. So he always had a pool table, and so down in the basement he had a decorated like old Coca-Cola stuff, and we had the pool table and then pictures, and he had a picture, and it had Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, and I'm trying to think who, and it said the Street of Broken Dreams. You know, all the actors that died fairly young or at their top of their career. Can't think of the third person, but it had James Dean smoking a cigarette and then had, they were in a diner. It was like, and it kind of lit up, you know? So yeah. James Dean. Yeah. He's how many movies? Three. He's a legend. I mean, you know, not just because of the movies or the car crash, but just all of it. I mean, he was a cool dude.
After his death in this car crash, Dean became the first actor to receive a posthumous Academy Award nomination Best Actor for his role in East of Eden. Upon receiving a second nomination for his role in Giant the following year, Dean became the only actor to have had two posthumous acting nominations. In 1999, the American Film Institute ranked him the 18th best male movie star of Golden Age Hollywood in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Stars list. That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive, considering he only had three
movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have not seen but just a few, little bit of Rebel Without a Cause. I have not seen East of Eden or Giant or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I need to watch those just so I can.
Oh, they're fantastic. I have them. You can borrow them.
Do you have them?
I do have them.
Oh, that's right. You said you had the box set. Yeah. Your dad,
Dean had hoped to compete in the Indianapolis 500 someday. That was one of his goals.
That would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had said that when Barris loaned out the Little Bastard to the Los Angeles chapter of the National Safety Council, as Nate said, for a local rod and custom car show, the gruesome display was promoted as James Dean's last sports car.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
And he barely got to drive in.
Barely.
did not get to race in. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All I want to know is, did he break the motor in?
They say, you know, he was going upwards of 90 miles an hour, they projected.
That
so
would break it in.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I would vote yes.
You know, and there's a lot of people are like, you know, that's not a curse. It's just bad circumstances, bad luck. It's kind of creepy, though. I mean, not a lot of cars or a lot of vehicles are you know, even parts going to another, into another car or being transported, and you got all these
those same people
injuries would, or deaths.
Like, those same people would poo-poo the Superman curse, so don't listen to them.
You're right.
Now we
and they would say Bigfoot's not real.
I was on
listen to them.
I was on a windmill farm in Elwood, Indiana, and we had one crane that was, we called it cursed, because it would go into auto crawl on its own.
Oh, weird.
Oh, okay.
Weird that it has auto crawl. Is that what it, that's a thing?
Well, that's so you don't have to keep your feet on the pedals or whatever, however they
crawl. I see. Yeah.
Gotcha. So you can like get it pointed in the direction and hit, you know, basically cruise control, and it would crawl itself until you stopped it. So we were actually up in the tower setting the next can on the tower. And while we're up there, it started moving.
Oh.
The can did, as we're trying to get it lined up with pins and stuff. So start hollering on the radio. It's like, whoa, 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 quit swinging. Quit. What are you doing? We didn't tell you to do anything.
Yeah.
And the operator calls back and was like, it went into auto crawl. That wasn't me. It just did it on its own.
Mm.
And then another time we got the can up off the ground, tripped it, so got it vertical so we could set it. And as we're swinging it over to set it on the other cans that were set, it just stopped. It wouldn't cable up, wouldn't cable down, wouldn't swing. It just stopped.
Hmm.
And it sat there with, typically with a crane, you don't want to have a suspended load just sitting there.
Yeah, right.
Overnight. And,
yeah.
Well, it sat there for days.
Ooh.
Because it just seized up. It wouldn't move.
Yeah, so it was stuck.
So then that had to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Then it tracked in on another site. Tracked in just fine. We set the three cans that we would set. We're the base mid crew. And so we're tracking back to go to the next site, following the exact same path that we tracked in on, and it sunk in the dirt, sunk in the mud, down to his chassis.
Wow.
So we had to bring, like, I can't even remember, like three D6 dozers over and hook up to it, and backhoes over there and digging dirt out of the way, and had to yank it up out of the dirt.
You're going to get Zach Baggins wanting part of that, by the way. Just so he's going to want a piece of that.
Make sure you sell for a good price.
it was 4.1 million.
Well, there's two other events I remember. The one, they were doing a road crossing. And as they're coming down on the other side, somehow the pin that holds the cab in place on the back of the cab, because you can unpin it and swing it out of the way and stuff for traveling on semis and stuff. Well, somehow that pin fell out.
Mm.
And so when he came down on the other side of crossing the road on big wooden mats, it tipped forward, and then it swung around, and a hydraulic ram that's used for tearing down the crane when you're, you know, tearing it down and loading it out, punched through the window and hit the computer.
Oh.
Knocked the computer out.
Mm.
Good Lord.
Actually, no.
I'd say it's cursed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Put that down as a mini episode.
We had,
right?
We had to actually break it down to take it to another site in the same farm, but we had to break it down and truck it over there. And I found one of the lattice and the lattice booms was dented, which basically takes it out of service until it gets fixed.
Right.
And none of us ever saw anything ever get into the boom and hit it. So we don't even know how that happened.
Doo-doo.
And then the worst thing that happened before I got there, they're doing another road crossing. And the oiler for the crane, he was standing on the other side of the mat. And it went into auto crawl. On its own.
Start auto crawl.
And when it did,
I don't like it.
It crawled up on the mat, and before the operator could get it stopped, it tipped the mat, and the oiler slid down like a slide and his foot went underneath the tracks, and it smashed his one foot.
Oh, my gosh.
Had to be amputated.
Oh.
So they called up to Manitowoc and asked him about this crane, gave him the serial number of the crane and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know that crane. That crane, every part of that crane has pretty much been replaced, and it's still... does all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
Weird. That is weird.
That is very weird.
I'm like, that's that's like, man, I don't, yeah, creepy.
It is. It's mm-hmm. totally cursed, needs to be a creepy. Mini.
Gosh.
So, yeah, I think things can sort of
take
a mind of their own.
Yeah.
The moral of that story, right?
Yeah.
With that said, Nate, take us out, brother.
Well, this little bastard of an episode's over. That's a wrap.
That's good.
Well, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Aged Mini number 66, discussing the cursed Porsche 550 spider named Little Bastard that killed the actor James Dean. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.
That's good.